So let's practice what we have learned this morning, okay? I will have to practice it this afternoon after I hear them talk. Okay? So let's ask ourselves what we should feel. How do you feel when somebody is talking and then you are playing your computer games when I'm speaking? Chris. No. Forgive him or not? No, that's a big question, right? So how to forgive him? All these COVID years, he's been doing that. It's multiplied by 10, you know. The sin problem. Power of 10. And then you look at it and say, how to forgive him? By him. In the Lord. In the blood of the Lord Jesus. You are now forgiven. Well, he doesn't ask me for forgiveness. So, but I'm going to forgive you anyway. But then a lot of people do that kind of thing here. Well, I am speaking. They are resting. They are here physically, but they're in Japan mentally. Think about this. Well, we're going to this afternoon look into the second part of it. Again here, what are we going to do? We're going to read it, right? And I want you to learn how to discover this truth for yourself so that you can understand what it is. Now this morning, again, we practice the whole idea of review before we read the Lord's Word. We're just going to spend a little bit of time prayer first and then ask the Lord to bless our lives. So let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray that you will help us to understand who you are, how you can be a father to us, how you can forgive us by the matchless love that we read about. We pray for your blessings and pray that we will understand this message a little bit further. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we will talk on one of the R's that we have is where we talk about review, right? Part of it. So they always tell you three hours of education. Reading, right? Writing, and arithmetic. They don't do that anymore. But look at this, how we read the scripture. We want to look at this, read. We also want to continue reading. And then we want to look at how do we review. And so we want to review the idea of God as Father. Okay? Now, we're going to discover more about God as Father in chapter 2. But this time, we want to discover God in a very special way. And so let's try and look at what we were before. Now, this is very important. This is no longer used. Last time, when we were looking at this, you calculate time by BC and AD. And you're not familiar with that anymore, right? It's just to help you, ancient history. They used to look at history and they call it BC. Do you know why? Because they dated everything before Christ. So now they don't like to mention the Lord Jesus Christ, so they call it BCE, which is, that's got no meaning. Before the common era. When is the era not common? Right? But think about this, this is before Christ. Then later on they call it AD. Why do they call it AD? Because it's also related to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is called Anno Domini, meaning to say in the year of the Lord. Right? So when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, it was no longer BC. It was now AD. Right? So that's how it was. Last time it was counted the other way around. 800, 700, 600, 500, 400, 200, 100. And then this one is going forward, 100, 200, now it's 2025. This is the way we date it before Christ. I don't like this one. Right? So it's still acceptable. It's just that in most books, they don't want to put BC, they put a BCE. They want to deny the Lord. See, that's how it is. A lot of people just reject the Lord. Even though it's history, they will reject it. Now, this is a real big problem. Now, let's take a look at before we became adopted, before we are called children of God, what were we like? Now, you look at your life, there are things in your life you do not want to share with anybody. Right? You don't have to tell us. You don't have to confess your things to us. But God knows everything about us. So we have a description, BC, before Christ. Right? Let's take a look in chapter 2 now. Read. Okay? Let's take a look at all the things we are reading. And this is how the scriptures describe us. We were dead. So when we look at this stress, what happens when we sin? Now, you look at your sin, 10, 15,000 sins. What happens when you are literally buried in sin? You're right, you're buried. You're dead. That's what happens to us. We don't realize this. Right? So you just imagine. So here is a person, here he is, he's a sinner, and he's buried, wow, 15,000 times. It's really deep. Buried, dead. That's where we are. That's the first problem. Can we read 2 verse 1? Now, so going further, why do you behave the way you do? A lot of people don't. Why am I behaving like that? Like robots, you know, we all don't realize that we are all pretty very much. But watch how the Bible describes us. The power that is inside you that you don't know about, the power that is around you that you don't understand is actually causing you to be like that. Watch. Read further. Okay, one, you walk according to the cause of this world. Eh? That's the world's influence. Right? Now, this is important. And you see this all the time. People will have all kinds of things. I saw a photograph of a lady who said that she wanted to have the largest lips on earth. Have you seen that one? It was like she was stung by a lot of bumblebees. And it was swollen. I mean, as in swollen, as in huge swollen. And she says, so what? I want to have the biggest lips on earth. And well, she's got the biggest lips on earth. It's one of the not so pretty pictures that you see. It's one of those things that made your nightmare. You wake up, oh, my lips, you better check and see whether they are swollen. It's terrible to see this. Right? For those of us who have had allergy reaction, I know, my face all puffed up and all swollen and all that. And I look at a picture and I say, boy, this is really, really, how to eat? People ask her, can you eat or not? It's so swollen. You cannot imagine how to eat. Well, that's with it. So we are influenced by the world. Right? Now you look at the world, all kinds of things here, and there are all kinds of things that are influenced by the world. There are, have you seen people people cut their hair using flame throw? Have you seen them? Using a blowtorch, you know? It's hair long, and they use blowtorch to blow. Why? I mean, aren't you afraid of your hair all on fire? No, an expert. And you pay the person to do all that too. And it is not cheap, you know. We are not talking $50. We are talking about $2,000 for that hair job. Are you kidding? Look at influence of the world. Right? I was reading about shoes, and there was this person who was looking at shoes, paid $1.2 million for a pair of shoes, just made specially, full of diamonds and all that, but he never wore them. Just for what? Fashion. Cause of this world. Right? I mean, the fashion world is sometimes a little bit crazy. Now, again here, the big jeans are in. Last time was the skinny ones, now the big ones. Now these are all baggy ones. And I mean, seriously, you can put a chicken inside. and nobody would know because it's all so big now. This is where we all are caught up with the course of this world. Without you realizing, you just automatically want to follow. What? There are people who follow trends all the time. And, you know, suddenly it's this, suddenly it's that. You know, I still cannot understand why it's called black pink. It's pink or it's black, but it's called black pink. So it's called black pink. And suddenly the whole theater down there, everybody wears pink. Until you really wonder, am I seeing flamingos or am I seeing, what am I seeing? And, you know, people will follow. Why are you doing it? Because that's how it works. You don't even realize it, but you're part of your influence already. Now think about these things here very, very, very carefully. I had an uncle who was an artist. And one day he showed me, he said, I show you something. You see, you know, all the girls' hair do and all that. You know where it's actually taken from? And I said, no. He says, it's all from dogs. But he showed me pictures. All right, all those perms and all these things, dogs. Right, perm did halfway to dogs. And everything from the eye was, well, I didn't dare to tell girls, hey, you see, your hairstyle looked like a dog. But who was I to go and argue with him? Because one, he's an artist and he's living in the U.S. And there he is, a professional artist and everything. And I said, wow, that's pretty amazing. We don't realize how much influence there is out there in the world. Think about this, right? So now we go on further to the next part of it, okay? Now, behind it all, according to the prince of the power of the air. Wow. Now, that is a bit more serious, right? So one, there is the world's influence. Two, there is a spiritual influence. Now, this is lots more dangerous. Okay, are you reading? Are we on the same page here? Chapter 2, look, read further. We walk according to the Spirit. Now, watch this very carefully. Who walk according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, we don't realize this. There are powerful spirits behind us, around us, in the world today. And he does all kinds of things. He plants all kinds of thoughts into your heart, into your mind, and you don't realize that you are doing this. And you are led astray. Think about this. Right? Sometimes you just ask why people do the things they do and they call it fun. You know, and until somebody has got to stop them and to tell them, look, this is dangerous. Why would you want to do it? Right? So some people want to go up to as close to the cliff as possible to go and take a picture because sort of, hey, I'm here. And then suddenly feel dizzy, fall down, die. Why? Right? Why would he want to go on a train, sit on a train and then just say, hey, I'm here, and then kill? Why? Think about this. What's causing all these things? Now, Paul is trying to show us, you are not who you think you are. You think you are your own master. You don't realize it. There are things influencing you. There is the world influencing you. Behind the world, there is the evil one influencing you. You don't even know it. See, this is why we read the scriptures. Because it reveals to us that there are powerful spirits. Now, we're not saying you're possessed. Far from it. But the influence is enough. And you see this. Right? So we're just happy to see how we can get out of it. Number two. Okay? Number three. Why are we all having the problem of disobedience? Why can't we just obey? We always want to push the boundary. We just want to, I want to do something else different. Right? Wet paint, do not touch. And you just have to put your finger there. Wet cement, you're going to put around there. Kilroy was here. Why? This is us, the disobedience part of it all. So next year, January, when you go to school, your watch may be banned. Yeah. You know, you want to repawn it? Think about these things here. Why? Because people are playing with these things here instead of listening, and they are not benefiting from all the time they spend in school. Why? What's behind it? Right? We talk about this vaping problem. Look at what's behind it. And they tell you, no, it's okay. Don't worry. It's safe. It's all that. I saw a poster of a father who was so upset. And he wanted to run a campaign. And he says, my daughter died at 17 years old because of vaping. It will kill you. And it will tell you it will not. Why do people want to do it? Disobedience. Why? What's behind it? You're not as free as you think you are. You think you run your life. You don't. This is the message that we are getting when we read Ephesians 2. Watch this. Remember, this is BC. Before the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our life. Watch this very carefully. Going on further. Among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In other words, we do whatever we want to do. Seriously, there are people who will, there was one guy who wants to eat McDonald's, and he says, I'm just going to eat McDonald's for 2 months, every single day, McDonald's, every day. And then suddenly he realized what was happening to him. And he put on 40 pounds. And then he finally sued McDonald's. What are you putting into your thing that makes people so fat? Why are we doing all of these things here? Seriously. And we look at these things, just think about it, and you ask yourself, what's behind it? This disobedience. And then we take a look, the lust of the flesh. Lust of flesh could be just simply greed. Right? It could be anything. It could be drinking. It could be anything that is there. It could be money. It could be a search for wealth. It could be a search for fame. It could be wanting to be number one. This is the lust inside us, the desire inside you. I've got to be number one, no matter what. What's driving you? See, you're not alone. This is where the Lord's word warns us. Beware. This is the danger. How do you get out? Now, that is something you read, right? So, chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Read for yourself very clearly. 1, 2, 3. Look at that. Right. So here comes the answer. Now we go back to God the Father. And this is his answer. And one word that we want to take a look at that is, and this is what we call his workmanship. That is what God will do. Okay? So let's take a look at this very, very carefully. What can God do? What will God do? He's not going to clap his hand and now you're changed. He's not. What he will do, we find this in chapter 2 and verse 10. Take a look at this. It's well memorizing. We are his workmanship. Right? Number one. Created. Again, go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it has to be in him, through him, by him, because of him. Same, always. Father-son relationship. The same thing with us. This is what he's going to do. Right now, this is something that we want to look. Again here, prepared beforehand is the same as predestined. That's how God does things. God doesn't plan for tomorrow only. He knows beginning to end his omniscience. That's the way God thinks. That's who God is. He doesn't plan like we do. He predetermines. Beforehand, he plans. That is what we are looking at. All right, so now let's take a look at this workmanship. What is he going to do? This is absolutely important for us to take note of. Right? So he works with, as it were, dead material. So how are we going to get out of it? Now, there is a beautiful story, and I'm going to get you to turn to it. If you've got a Bible, everybody's got a Bible. Might as well get used to reading it a little bit. And this is in a book written by a prophet called Ezekiel. All right, turn to it. Try. Tell yourself, you know, this is interesting. This is exciting. Let me do my part. Right? Remember, there are powers that are in around you, and they will tell you that can't be bothered. Switch off. Don't do that. Try. Learn. Read. And this is a very famous story of what God is. It's what we call it, the vision, and it's called the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. Right? So let's take a look at this chapter 37. And the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel and brought him out in the spirit of the Lord, and he sat down in the midst of the valley. And the valley was full of bones. Then he caused Ezekiel to pass by them all around. Look at everything. There were many in the open valley. It was very dry. And so God said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Now that was a big question. Now this is, remember we go back to Ephesians 2:1. We were dead. We are dry. Well, dead and dry. Can dry bones live? Well, Ezekiel answer, we all understand. Oh Lord, you know, I don't. That's the answer, because it lies within the understanding of God. In his mind, cannot. In his imagination, how do you put the bones together? Supposing you look at all the bones, first you must know your anatomy, you know. Otherwise, your knee bone will join to your shoulder and you will be, you have a very awkward body all over the place. So Ezekiel, I'm not sure he knows his anatomy very well, but he said, Lord, you know. Right? And so this was his answer. So God said to him, okay, here we go. I want you to prophesy to these bones. Say to them, now, again, talk to dry bones. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Wow. That is quite a bit of work. First, Ezekiel was involved. Two, you must declare this word. Right? This word will create life. This is why we want you to learn how to read God's word. When you read the Lord's word, something will happen. That word itself will come alive. It will help you to come alive. Not your thoughts, the word of God. That's what we are reading here. And it will come alive and look at these things. And I will put sinews on you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Because nobody else can do this. This was God's plan. To make dry bones come alive. This is God's plan, Ephesians 2, to make dead people come alive. Well, I'm not talking about the physically dead. I'm talking about the spiritually dead. And many of us are spiritually dead before Christ. Now, what's this going to be a before Christ part of it? So what God is going to do is to bring this life, these bones, this deadness into the question and then make it come alive. So Ezekiel did it. I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Suddenly, a rattling. The bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked. And the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Part one. God has to deal with the physical part. Part one. Get your act together. Look at your life to put it together first. One more thing to do, life. And this was what's going to happen. So God said, come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath came upon them and they lived. And he stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Right? And so the Lord said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off. In other words, we are dead. God was going to make the dead nation come alive again. This is going to be the work of the Lord. Right? Now, this is what's going to happen. Let's look at Ephesians 2 again. Let's go back. Let's look at it very carefully. Why would God do that? Okay, and now we look at this idea. Remember, we talk about workmanship, 2:10. We are his workmanship, 2:10. Why would God do it, and how would God do it? Beginning from chapter 2, let's look at it very carefully. Verse 4, God who is rich in mercy, because God is rich in mercy. In other words, he will help you because he is a merciful God. Right? You may be feeling dead. You may be feeling dry. You may be feeling hopeless. Yours is a lost cause. But listen, God is rich in mercy. He can make you come alive. That's one. Go on further. Read further on your own. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Now, this is very, very important here, right? Because of his great love. Okay, and I think we all realize this. Let's say every time your exam comes, you go and show your father or your mother everything here, and it is... It's all this color, right? 25%, 17%, 5%, every subject like this. Tell me your father was, I love you. I love the red marks. I think you dare not to show your father. You forged the signature. You would not dare. He said, what on earth is wrong? You will get scolding. He said, I worked so hard. I put you through school and this is what I get. Nobody would dare to come and, oh yeah, here we are. Here's my report book again. By the way, I'm consistent. Nobody wants to go that way. I mean, that's seriously. But this is where God is rich in love. Think about these things here. God knows all our failures, all our failings, and God is rich in love, mercy, great in love. And he will work with us. I'll work with you. You're dead, I'll work with you. I'll do it with love. I'll do it with mercy. Wow, that is amazing discovery, what God is like. This is what God is like. This is his workmanship. Now we go on further. Right? Even when we were dead in trespasses, first act, number one, he made us alive together. This is number one. Again here, with Christ. So we are first made alive. Back to Ezekiel 37, a picture of life. Because before he can work with you, you got to come alive to him. But if you can't be bothered, you think that God is going to take the chopstick and put the mouth, the chopstick into your mouth and then move your jaws for you. Think again, he's not. He's not going to do that. But he will make you come alive. That is going to be very, very important. All right? So by grace, we are saved. Now we go on further. Next is amazing statement in verse 6. Not only made alive. Now this is where we go. Right? So we are made alive to raised us up. Wow. That is absolutely amazing. Raised us up. Can a person with hardly anything actually one day hope to rise up? Well, the answer is absolutely possible. Look at it. Look at what we are looking at. But that is just amazing. He will not only make us come alive, he will raise us up and then literally the idea promote, raise us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ the Lord. That is amazing. So what's the future like? We will one day sit with the Lord in heaven. That is God's plan. Right? But how is he going to do this? This is workmanship. Now, this is important for us to understand. Okay? So how? He will show the exceeding riches of his grace. Now, we go back to his grace word. Right? So this is an amazing thing here. And God will show the exceeding greatness of his grace. If you got 15,000 sins to account for, believe me, you are going to need all the grace that God can give to you. And he does. And he will. So that's amazing. We will take a look at our lives. Right? We look at our lives and we just cannot but thank God for that amazing grace that we think about over here. Okay, so this is important for us, and you, for by grace you have been saved. Why? What is it all about? And it is simply the idea, it's a gift. That's it, you can't buy it. You can't purchase it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's God saying, here you are. I am going to make your life a gift for you. This is his workmanship. Now, to me, it is an amazing piece of work. When God can take such material, Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, dead, trespasses, sins, walking according to the course of this world, walking according to the prince of the power of the air, and we fulfilling all kinds of crazy nonsense, all the wrong things you can imagine, and God can take that life, change it. This will take workmanship. Teachers cannot do that. Going to a good school cannot do that. Going to a top university cannot do that. Parents cannot do that. And you cannot do that because you're dead. Right? Now, this is very important. So what is this work? What is this thing that we're trying to share with you at this youth conference? And it is right here. It's for you to think about these things here and ask yourself, what is God seeking to do? And remember, this is something that God was going to do for us. So I have shared with you how this works out. First, look at this very carefully. Okay? Now, the way God does it, always characterized by it, His mercy, His grace, His love, all the time. But whenever you think of a workmanship, remember, you always start with a design. Now think about these things here. You know, when I was in China some time back, there was a person working with a piece of silver. You know, it was a very long piece of silver, and so I saw him put it through the machine, and he turned it to straighten it. So I just sat down there and watched him work. He put it through once, crank it, and he looked at it. Nah, not good. Put it back. Went through it, and look at it. No good. Put it back. 10 times he put it back. Not ready. 10 times he worked at it. Then he put it in a bit of water to clean it up a little bit. And he did it again, all the way through. 10 times, 20 times he put it through the machine, an old time machine, using his hand to long. He's just trying to straighten it. And then finally he come to a certain standard. So I said, well, is he going to make anything out of it yet? No. He's going to curl it. So he put it through a machine and he curled it. And then he left it there. And when are you going to do the work? He says, no, not yet. It takes a lot. First, you have to have a person who's going to do it. You know what you are doing. Right? To a person who doesn't know what to do with its silver, you don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to straighten it. You don't know how to clean it. You don't know how to design it. You have to look at it very carefully. How do I twist and turn it? How do I shape it? How do I make it to be what it is? I stood there for half an hour just watching him work. And without tiring, he just does it. Again and again and again and again. I never got to see the end product because it was not ready. It cannot be done in one afternoon. That was amazing. You know what? It just suddenly reminded me of what it means for God to take our life. It's not going to be done right here in 1 week. It's not going to be done when you are in secondary school. It's going to take much more. Even when you go to JC, the Lord is going to shape your life. But remember, there is a divine design that He has in His mind. And it will require His hand to shape it, His workmanship. And when it is finally done, it will be a piece of art. You are that piece. And God will display to the world. And He will say, can you see what was done? This was what He was like. He was dead, influenced by the world, influenced by evil spirits, doing all sorts of wrong, sinful things. And you know what? I made Him come alive. Not by force, but by grace, by mercy, by love, by His personal, omnipresent touch. And the person comes alive to God. That It's a pretty amazing work. Think about this. And it is a very, very wonderful thing to consider very much. Created for what? In verse 10 we read, created for good works. You know, once upon a time, you're not interested in other people. Suddenly, you feel, you know what, I just want to be concerned for other people. Good works. In other words, you have a new heart now. Your heart now desires to do good things with your life. It's no longer about yourself. It's no longer about what I want to do. It's no longer what I want to eat. It's what I want to do with my life, the pleasures that I want to have. No more of that. It's just simply God created you for good works. And suddenly you find your heart is able to do that. Your heart desires. Your mind is now inclined, not on games, but you are thinking, how can I serve? What good can I do? How can I make my life count for something? Good works will be inside your heart and mind now. Then you know that God has begun that work inside you. And that is something that you want to look at very, very carefully. Right? Now, is it possible? And it is something that is pretty amazing. And as we want to share with you a story of a person who saw God transforming his life. This was a Frenchman. He came from a district called Clairvaux. And this Clairvaux area was famous for its wine. So he came from a very well family. And he was there. But he was living his life literally in vain. He was living his life feasting and drinking and having parties all the time because he's wealthy, because his family can afford it. He doesn't have to work for a living. He's just wealthy. And one day, he came to faith in the Lord Jesus. And he was looking at his life and he realized, what am I doing with my life? I have to fight drunkenness. I have to fight off all the evil inclinations inside me. I'm always tempted to do bad things. What am I doing with my life? And he said, stop. I don't want that anymore. And he prayed, Lord, make me come alive. That man called Bernard of Clairvaux became a changed person. First, he told his family, no more wealth. I don't want to be simply the wealthy son enjoying himself. To his parents, astonished, what are you going to do? You know what? There are so many people who are poor outside our district. There are so many swarm areas that could be cultivated. You know what? I am going to show them how they can do this. See, being rich, he was educated. Being rich, he had a lot of resources available to him. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to help a lot of people as far as I can, as much as I can. And he began to tell people about God, why his life changed so much. Well, you know, a lot of French men, they all say they're all very good at falling in love and girls and all that. Something changed inside him. And of course, because he was good looking, he was wealthy, because he was everything that was favorable, he had a lot of girls all waiting in line. Would you be my boyfriend? And he said to no. No, 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 no. Tall, short, fat, thin, no. What are you doing then? I want to live my life for God. And he did. He never, never got married. He just simply says, I want my life to be lived fully for God. And he did. Right? It was amazing. And a lot of other young men looked at his life and said, Bernard, can we follow you? Can we follow you? So he started a little place which they call their own. It's, you know, like a monastery. And so he said, we want to be joined, fine, but I want to tell you what we do. One, we come alive to God. Two, we remember we are created for good works. Right? We are going to be engaged in doing good all our life. If you think you want to do this, if you think God wants you to do this, come and join me. And it wasn't one or two or three. There were so many young men who did the same thing because the same circle of friends, all wealthy, young, good-looking, powerful, influential, and they said, Bernard, you be our leader. We follow you. This is what God can do in our life. This is what God can do in your life. You take your life where you are right now. You may be sinful. You may be dead. You may be totally uninterested. You don't even realize there are powerful forces influencing you. First, God has to make you come alive in Christ. In other words, it will be through faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, this is very important. Next, he will then become father to you. The moment he becomes father to you, he has established a covenant relationship with you. He will be father for life. And he will pour into your life his grace, his richness in mercy, his great love, his great power, his great presence, and everything that you imagine God the Father to be. And he is. And he will start working in your life. Will you be changed tonight, tomorrow? No. But the workmanship will begin. Now, I cannot promise you that at the end of the week, you will be a totally transformed person. So that when you step into your house and you ring the doorbell and your parents look at, who's that? Right? They've never seen you beaming with joy before. They've never seen you. And they say, are you drunk? No, I'm not. What are you now? And you say, God is working in my life. This is what God can do in your life. And it begins with this step. Go back to John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God. And God takes over. So you are saying to God, here I am, Lord. I want to be your child. I want to be your son. Please, that's what I said to the Lord. Please be my father. Right? I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your love. I need all that I look at my life. There are so many things that I need. Can you help me? Will you change me? This is what my prayer was. Can you change me? Because I don't want to be the person I am anymore. I hate the person that I am. I hate the things that I do. I hate the thoughts that I have. I hate the heart that I have. I just want to change. But I don't know how to change. Will you change me? This is what God will do. He will assume responsibility. He will be father to you. And like a father, he will guide you. He will teach you. He will help you. He will help you understand what it means. And to me, it's a beautiful, beautiful word. And so this afternoon, as we come to literally the last part of this afternoon where we will end the first day, you go away and you think, wow, today I have learned about God, of how he can be father to me. Two, I learn about his workmanship. He can work inside me and change me until I become a special piece of work of God. But remember, it's all up to you. If you say no, God won't force you. Will God punish you? No. What? You want to be left alone? Remember, He will leave you alone. But are you alone? There's a world out there. There are spirits out there. There is sin inside us. We are not alone. There are lots of things inside us that you don't realize will hurt us very badly. You won't see it today, but it will become more obvious in time to come. That is afternoon. This is God speaking to our hearts. You can read for yourself chapter 1, chapter 2. Then you begin to see His workmanship. Now tomorrow I will expand on the idea of how great that workmanship is, because it is more than just you. There is a greater plan of God that we want to consider very much. But let's stop here this afternoon and ask ourselves, seriously, what are we learning? How are you going to respond to all of this? And that would be vital for us to consider. Okay, well, let's pray together. Now, this afternoon, as we close, and I want to encourage you, we read the Bible. Before we read, we pray. And after you finish reading, you pray also. A good habit. And then you review, what have I learned today about the fatherhood of God? What have I learned today? The Father's workmanship. Now, so you need to ask yourself, is God your Father? Two, are you conscious God is working inside you? First, He makes you come alive. Two, He pours into you His mercy, His grace, His love, His power. Now, if that is something that is real, you start changing. And you begin to realize your heart is changed. Suddenly, you realize you want to care for others. Good works is what you want to do. It's not about yourself anymore. This is what God can do in your life. And this is it's an offer to you. This is an opportunity to you. Now you'll find that if you are dead to the Lord, this is not important to you. You're not interested. You can't be bothered. See, that's a sign of deadness. A dead thing cannot respond. Right? But if you find yourself resisting, that's the power inside you, resisting. Don't let that win. Let God's love fill you. Let God's grace be sufficient. Let God speak to your heart, and you know that this is a good and great God who wants to be Father to us. And we become His children by adoption, by His decree, by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus. And you can begin this work today, this afternoon, in prayer. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray to you, thanking you for the privilege of being able to address you as God, our Father in heaven, all because of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for His death on the cross for us to pay for all our sins. We thank you for His grace, His mercy, His love for us. And this afternoon, we would like very much to consider the Lord Jesus as our Savior and to have you as our Father in heaven. Help us to know how to make this prayer personal and to have the Lord Jesus as our Savior in our hearts. And we pray that as Father, you will begin that great, good, new work inside us. Help us to know that we have been created for good works. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.